And in chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 2, very simple, it says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Great little song, because it speaks of an incredible truth. Thank you for saving me. What else can I say? What can I say? Almighty God, this morning, we certainly gather here in a room together in a traditional fashion, and we come in here with the tradition of a Thanksgiving weekend and the holiday season that we mark out in the Western world in that way. May our thankfulness not just be based upon a weekend or a holiday or something that's on a calendar, or our thankfulness be based upon some traditions that we set up in that way, but may they come totally and completely out of what is real. A thankfulness because of a changed life, a changed heart, and a change that happened in me. God, we honor you with that, and we're grateful this morning to be able to sing about that, learn about that, and build our lives upon that. And we want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and be seated. It is Thanksgiving weekend, obviously, and kind of the beginning of the holiday Christmas season, as we love to think of it all in one big lump in this Western world, thus the decorations that are up. I do want to say one more thing, and again, I'll add what Heather said as a thank you to all of those who provided meals for Thanksgiving. That was very, very cool to watch. And again, thank you, Colleen. I know we keep bragging on you. You were not the only one, but you were awesome. And there were many, many people who participated in that and gave gifts for that. But it was really cool to watch people like Colleen and Shelley and Denise and other people who were here engaging with people as they came and went out the room. And some of those gifts were also delivered. Several people in our church also had to deliver those and brought those to people's homes. But they did it not because it was just Thanksgiving and we want to be nice to people. We did it because we tried to show the love of Christ. Yeah, well, fun little story that kind of goes along with it, though. Shelley Nakagomi told me that this family came in and she was in here kind of meeting them and saying hello and, you know, getting to try to just briefly get to know them, engage with them. This is, if you don't know this, we have an adoption as a part of our local mission that we do. We do missions in Indonesia. We do missions locally. They're all of equal value because it's missions is missions. But we have an adoption of a local Twin Lakes Elementary School here right nearby. And we provide Thanksgiving meals for some people who are kind of in need, as well as later for Christmas, which Heather talked about in there. So that's really what that was all about. So people came and picked those meals up. We worked this through the school system. It was very cool. But one of the little kids that came through, Shelley's talking to the family. And this little boy comes in. He must have been about 3 years old, she said. And he came in the room and with his mom and his, you know, they're chit-chatting and talking. And she turns to the little boy and says, I am so glad to have you here. Happy Thanksgiving. What is your name? And he says, my name is Iron Man. So I thought it was, that story has nothing to do with nothing other than the fact it's extremely cute. But it was a part of the engaging of people's lives, and that part was very cool. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. My family and I did. We have 3 of the 4 of us in our immediate biological little family. Of course, just my son was here. My daughter still is, of course, living overseas. We'll be here, actually, during the Christmas holidays, interesting enough. She lives in Russia, but she'll be back for that. But that was quite fun. Plus, we have much more of that. We have a bigger family than just our biological family. We have a lot of others who live in our house, and we all went out, as well as a few others went out, and went out to Hood Canal, had a little Thanksgiving fun out there, and that was quite delightful. I hope that was also delightful for you. And that, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But this morning I want to talk to you about what it means to live a life of thankfulness. What it means to sort of have that umbrella in our life and let it protect you. Let it be a part of you. Where do you receive your sense of joy? You know, we just read that in Colossians. And it says, you're thankful, you will overflow with thankfulness, as it says there. It what does it mean to sort of overflow with thankfulness? If you, you know, you read those stories, you read that passage in Colossians, it was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in a city called Colossae, long, long time ago, 2,000 years ago. And he writes to them these words, and I read them already, but just think back on a paraphrase sense. He writes them and says, boy, you started this journey. When you accepted Christ as Lord, when you started that part, Eric, put that verse back up, chapter 2. When you started that journey in your relationship to Christ, it says you accepted Him as Lord. He became a part of your life. Mike Freeman started this last week when he's talking about giving thanks, and he spent some time dealing with the issue of what it means to turn your life over to Christ in that way. You know, what it means to start there. But as you gave your life to Christ, and He started that journey in that way, but then after a while, your life became a life of thankfulness. Just begin to overflow. Just overflow. What does that mean for you? What does it mean to overflow with thankfulness? Well, if you're a little bit like me, and I'm convinced that most of us are pretty much alike. We're all kind of cut out of the same human, you know, mold of flaw, all right? That's pretty much how we all are. I hate to say that about us, but we all are pretty much the same way in that sense. We typically receive our emotional thankfulness, and most of us think thankfulness is kind of a something that we do in response to something, and I get that. But what we want is a thankful life because of some things that have happened to us. So we receive our thankfulness based upon certain kind of circumstances. And if you are like me, typically I like to receive my sense of thankfulness based upon the current news of the day. What's going on? How's your week? As we ask people and they come in the room. It was good, it was bad, it was ugly, it was okay, it was mediocre, it was wonderful. Based upon things of all kinds. In fact, not to be outdone with Don Turner, because you notice Don, by the way, he comes up here when he speaks from now on, he just is so high tech. So I don't want to be outdone by Don Turner. So I came here this morning fully prepared in this way with not an iPad. I don't want to be that faddish as he is. I want to be much more with it and use a current day Android. So in that Android sense of the word, it looks like I got an email, by the way. I just popped up. I don't know who's emailing me. But anyway, but in this little thing here, I typically love to kind of snap on. I have these things. It's taken me a few months to figure out how to use all this. But I like to read the news. How many of you like to read the news on the internet and all that kind of stuff? It's kind of more and more popular all the time. But if you really want to find out how you feel for the day and how you feel for the week, you should open up your news. And so here it says on CNN, you know, one of my little apps, that it looks like Egypt is having some issues. There's some more, you know, riots going on there. Bangladesh has some issues. Actually, we have a young man from Bangladesh. They had a fire there, killed a bunch of people. Not good, obviously. Brazil has some gangs going on. China lands its first jet on an aircraft carrier. That's good news. And I mean, I guess I have a lot of Chinese in my house. They'll probably be happy about that. Let's see, ceasefire, iffy, in Israel, on and on. Larry Hagman died at 81. You remember him from Dallas, and I remember him from I Dream of Jeannie, personally. But anyway, Spain's got some things going on there. Black Friday, that's a big deal. How many of you participated in Black Friday? How many of you went, let me see your full-blown hand here. How many of you went shopping on Black Friday? Proud and loud. All right, here we go. All right, we're about, okay, you're not too terribly fattish. I actually, believe it or not, went. My wife and I went Friday night. I didn't do anything that early in the morning, but Friday night, went out and found some kind of cool deals and along the way. How many of you are going to do Cyber Monday, by the way? Cyber Monday. One? Okay, that's all right. And, but, you know, you kind of sort of receive your sense of joy from the real results. Now, I actually went out, like I said, I was kind of out of touch for a couple days, and so I watched no football on Thanksgiving weekend, which is kind of like a sin, to be honest with you. I am repenting. I am repenting. And I had some of my favorite teams played, and it's rival weekend. I realize all that. But we went out, and I love my family more than football, so I went out and enjoyed my time with them. And by the way, Auburn High School lost the other night. And so wherever you are, they lost. That was kind of a bummer. Could have been in the finals this week, but good for you anyway. Good for the team that they did so well this year. But let's see. There was some game that happened called the Apple Cup. Let's see. What was that score? I didn't actually know that score until Saturday night. I came home, turned on my handy little app, got on the Wi-Fi, and I could not believe it. See, there is a reason to be thankful, Mark, for a lousy season. Mark's over here wearing his colors loud and proud, his Cougar colors. Baylor Bears, my team beat Texas Tech in overtime. That was kind of cool. And going to go to a bowl game, and there's some other kinds of things. Who cares about Alabama? But anyway, and Notre Dame, some team. Tim Jagger was wearing Notre Dame stuff this morning. can't do it. But you know, here's the point. Silly little point. We sort of receive our joy and sense of thankfulness by what goes on in the world. And there's plenty that goes on in the world. There's messages all around us that describe, you know, in a sense, what our life should be like. I'll give you another one. Big news this week, this last week. Big news. Hostess is going out of business, no more Twinkies. Okay? And they kind of throw that news in there with the war kind of issues going on between Gaza and Israel. I'm going, those two just don't, you know, just don't match. How do you feel? How do you feel? What's the truth? What do you base your life upon? How do you live a life, as Colossians says, growing strong in the truth that you were taught and overflowing with a sense of thankfulness? How do you do that? This morning, for just a few minutes, I wanted to teach you a little bit of a lesson that's the lesson of the tree, the lesson of the seedling. Now, the truth is, I'm not far-fetched at all with this, because this is a very biblical illustration. Jesus himself constantly used agricultural illustrations to describe pretty much what life was like. And even in so many ways, this Colossians 2, Paul, the Apostle Paul does the same thing to us when he's talking to us about what it means to kind of grow up in maturity and be a thankful heart, just be life overflowing with thankfulness. He uses the story of a tree, as does other places. And we're going to use the illustration of what that means. Now, a seedling, of course, is just that very beginning tree. And biblically speaking, the book of Colossians, the letter to the church at Colossae and the letter to us, would tell us, as the Apostle Paul would say very clearly, he says, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, and you must commit to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him, and let your lives be built on him. There is that visual of a tree. Now, every tree, like every life, has a beginning. There is a point where something starts in your life. In every human being's life, every human being, I don't care who you are, where you come from, what you've been about. And in every human, God has instilled in you something that is unique and uniquely different than all other parts of the created order. And that is the ability to have relational life. It's there. A life that is more than just the here and now. A life that is beyond just eating, drinking, living, breathing. It's real life. God put it there. And again, Mike spoke about this very clearly last week when he said, what you really need to do is open up your heart. Open up the door, so to speak, of your life. How does the journey, relational journey, begin with God? It's no magic. It's not a matter of going to church. It's not a matter of, you know, special sprinkling foo-foo dust of any kind. it really is just to say, it's an opening up of your heart that just says, God, I know that you are real. I know that I belong to you, and I want you to belong. I want you to live in here. I want you to be a part of this. The Apostle Paul says, oh man, you started there. When you accepted, as he used the terminology, when you accepted Christ as your Lord, your Savior, the one in charge, it's not, you immediately recognize my life is not just about me anymore. It had a beginning. It has a beginning. That's when all of a sudden the seedling begins to grow. Life begins to stir. You're not done yet. Eternal life is real and ready. But he says, now it's time to let it grow up in you. In fact, he says, just as you accepted him as Savior and Lord, you must now continue to follow him. Why? Because you have a chance to be rooted. Put your roots deep, deep down and be built on him. There is so much more out there. And what's the illustration? The illustration is one of my favorites, and that is a seedling of a tree can eventually become a huge tree, a giant, my personal favorite tree, a giant oak. A giant oak tree. One that is solidly grounded down there. It's deep. You know what I love about an oak tree? I mean, I love trees of all kinds, and this is, you know, it's really just an illustration. But the beauty of an oak tree is, it grows tall, it grows wide. It also, from a root standpoint, does the exact same thing. The roots grow out horizontally very, very far, but at the same time, they grow very, very deep. Do you realize that an oak tree can almost withstand anything, any kind of a storm? And that is the illustration that God uses to us to say, this is what your life can be like. For all of us. A little illustration for you. Many years ago, I was in the sixth grade or something like that. My grandparents lived on the Texas Gulf Coast. And I've told this story a few times. It's just a great little visual to help you grasp this concept. But they lived on the Texas Gulf Coast, and there was a giant hurricane that came through that part of Corpus Christi, Texas, and at that time it was called Hurricane Celia, if you're familiar and track old ancient hurricanes of some kind. But this was 40-some-odd years ago, so, that makes me old. But anyway, that's beside the point. But the hurricane that came through became a monster. Now, we were not there for that storm. I was actually with my grandparents, if memory serves me right, with my grandparents on a trip. And the storm came through, and they were living on this piece of property out in the countryside, a little area called Ingleside, Texas. And it's just nothing but sand. It's kind of quite ugly. But anyway, it's just a big sandy place. I'm not making fun of my grandparents' place. It was pretty, but that's just a big flat sandy thing. But interestingly enough, they had these huge oak trees, beautiful big giant oak trees in their property. And they had somebody living there and staying there during the storm. And when the storm hit, the winds came, and the storm got bigger than they thought it was going to be. The winds got up to 160 miles an hour, and it came right over that area. I mean right over their house. And the couple that was staying there at the time, as we got there and we arrived after this trip and tried to help clean up, it was a disaster zone. You know, Hurricane Sandy and all the pictures that we have from the East Coast recently, I saw that down on the Gulf Coast of Texas. I saw buildings that were just nothing left but bookends. Houses. My uncle had a house there, my aunt and uncle, and their next door neighbor's roof was literally, the entire thing was sitting in their front lawn. All their windows were shadowed. Everything was, I mean, it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. So that's what happened there. The couple that was living at my grandparents' place, the wind obviously took the branches from these beautiful oak trees and just piled them up, and it was 10 foot deep in branches. But when they came to clean up, the man that was living there on the property told my grandparents, he says, you know, a funny thing happened. When the storm came, When the hurricane came over, as you know, hurricanes, it blows in a circle. And so the initial part of it will come from one direction and will hit you. And he said that the storm came and that big, gigantic, one of their giant oaks, the wind just was so ferocious, it just took that tree and just took it all the way down. And then the eye of the storm came over. In the eye of the storm, if you know, there's no wind. It's just everything's clear and kind of for 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is. And he says, when the storm kind of came back over now, the wind is now coming from the other direction. And he said, that tree, he said he watched it in that storm. In the first part of the storm, the tree was taken all the way down. And in the second part of the storm, the wind came from the other direction and picked it right back up. And to this day, that giant oak tree is still there. Now, what's the illustration? The illustration is that's exactly what the Apostle Paul would say to us. You could be rooted and built up in Him. And your sense of thankfulness will not come necessarily from the circumstances of life, but they will come because of who you are rooted in and how deep and mature you really are. That's what thankfulness comes from. That's the life. And that's the image of a mighty oak. You know, think for a second. What is it that influences you? Because we are all driven in life by the influences of our lives. There are circumstances and influences. And how you are influenced by those things determines how you live your life in that same way. Well, let me give you a few illustrations of what I think are some of the major influences and how they affect you in your life and where you kind of stand on this scale of am I a mature person with a sense of thankfulness about my life, or am I constantly affected by things around me? Let me just kind of give you a couple illustrations of that. First off, I think one of the major influences of our lives are the outside messages that come to us that we constantly listen to. Outside messages, right? You know what that is? Outside messages basically are advertising. We are unbelievably influenced by advertising. You have no idea. In fact, you are so inundated with it, you don't even realize that it occurs. It's constant. It's always. It bombards you. People like me who come in and want to open the apps, I mean, we're constantly, messages. You watch a TV, you watch a radio, watch a billboard, it's constant. It's with your friends, it's with your neighbors, it's everything. You know, in fact, there are people in the world that are out there who, they're called marketers and people who get degrees in marketing. You know, nothing wrong with necessarily with a marketing degree, but you know what the real core of a marketing degree is? I'm going to try to learn to the best of my ability how to influence you and tell you what you must have and what you cannot live without. My job is to influence you and to tell you what is of value and what is of importance. I'm a marketer. I've actually kind of, now some of you do that, and that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the job necessarily in and of itself. Other than the fact, if you think about the real spiritual values of that, what you are really saying is, I want everybody else to tell me how important things are. I want to get out on Black Friday, and I want to find out all those things that I didn't know before Black Friday that I cannot live without. As I told you, I went Friday night. My wife and I went out for a little while, and I just don't really like that kind of stuff too much normally. And until you see those magic things, you know what it's called? It's called 50% off. Reduced price plus 50. And then all of a sudden, that thing that you didn't know you needed, you now need four of. I mean, we all kind of know the feeling. And if you can't buy it, you wish you could buy it, and then you're miserable at the end of the day. Because even at 50 off, it was 50 off of 70, you know, it was 75% off, 50 off. I mean, it's unbelievable how the world opens up to you of all the things that you didn't know you needed until they're on sale. I mean, we all have done it. I mean, I'm making fun of ourselves. We all understand that feeling. You know what that's called? That's called being influenced by outside messages. Maturity knows how to be able to sort through those things. Nothing wrong with a sale. Nothing wrong with buying something. There's an awful lot wrong with living a life that is constantly influenced by all the things around you and the messages that come to you instead of the real truth, which is what it says in Colossians. You base your life on truth. Political ads do the same thing. I mean, they're constantly telling you what you should be concerned about. Well, there are some things to be concerned about. But in politics, if I'm running for office here somewhere, I'm going to tell you as much as possible and scare you to death about some things you didn't even know that were supposed to scare you until I told you. Outside messages. Outside influences. Who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? If outside messages influence the maturity level of your life. Now hear me out again. If outside messages influence the way you feel, the way you think, the reactions you have, and the depth of your life, then you will constantly be at war with yourself and with everybody else. Constantly. Apostle Paul says, you accepted Christ as your Lord. That's awesome. You opened the door to life and life began to spring up like a small tree. That's awesome. Continue to be rooted and built up in Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and your lives built on Him, and then your faith will grow strong in the truth. Not the lies, but the truth that you were taught. Then you will just overflow with thankfulness. You get it? I think there's another set of messages we listen to, not just outside messages, but we listen to our and are influenced by our external environment. The influences that are real and they come to us in our life, the external environment. For example, how you grew up, how you live. How you live now is based upon how you sort of grew up in that way. So, for example, was your home that you grew up in a home of love or a home of anger or somewhere between the two? I mean, this is not a rhetorical question. I want you to think for a second about who you are, where you sit today, how, based upon the circumstances. We all have a set of circumstances. All of us do. So, doesn't matter. We're all in the same big, gigantic melting pot on this one. We all have them, good and bad. Some of us, you know, they're varying levels, but we all take a test and we all have them. Home is a home of anger, a home of love. It was an influence. Maybe you grew up that way. Maybe your home was a quiet home or a loud home. Those are always kind of fun. I don't know where mine was. Mine was kind of in between. We tend to be pretty loud. Arnold's are always loud. Did you grow up in a home of conflict or sort of a home of peace, or somewhere kind of between the two? Maybe there's a little tension. Maybe there's this underwriting kind of thing that happened when you were growing up as a kid, and there was always this little nagging thing, don't talk to Mom about that thing, you know. And, don't say that around Dad, because if you do, then the fuse is lit. I mean, you know, but you knew how to keep peace, but you knew how to keep peace in a home because you knew how to not say the magic triggers that set everything off. Or was it quiet, or is it peaceful? Where was it? Was it a stable home or an unstable home? Was there an enormous amount of instability based upon all kinds of things? And it could be things that were not anybody's fault. Maybe there was a death in the family. Maybe there was issues that went on and health issues. Or maybe there was a crisis that took place. Or maybe your house burned down. Or, you know, there was just all kinds of influences that can come. Was it a stable kind of a home or an unstable home or some measurement in between on the scale? Was it a home of plenty, or was it a home of constant want? Maybe it was a constant need, and there's a difference between constant need and constant want. There are people who grew up in very, very poverty-stricken places in the world, and maybe you were one of those, and you said there was constantly a need for something. You know, I We have all varying degrees of that. And it's not a good, I mean, it's not your fault, no matter what scale you grew up in. That is the way it is. Maybe you were a home of tremendous security, or maybe you were a home of constant danger. Here's my point. The external environment that you sort of were reared into, that you were raised into, that when you became that human seedling that was growing up, those external influences no doubt influence the way you think, act, react today. No question about it. You can't help that part. You can't help how you react. I'll tell you a little story. A young lady who grew up in our church many years ago. And her name is Kim. Kim became a believer, much as the Apostle Paul talks about, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord. She became a believer as a teenager in a home that was not a believer home. But she was also brought under wing initially by this family in our church, and she actually lived with them for a period of time, and they actually had a lot of instability in their own personal life and some other issues going on besides all of that. But graciously, they did bring this young girl who struggled with having much of a background into their lives, and they was the beginning of the step of bringing some sense of stability that she'd never known before. Because one of the many things that happened to her, when she was about 12, 13 years old, about the same age as a bunch of these kids. I was talking to a bunch of teenagers back here in the corner right before the start of service, and they were 12, 13, 14 years old, and it was kind of fascinating, and it made me think about Kim a little bit. When she was their age, she was in the kitchen having breakfast, bowl of cereal, with her brother and her sister. They did this thing she used to describe, put the boxes up and create the walls, you know, with boxes of cereal. So you leave my cereal alone, and we create this little wall, you know, so in their kitchen. And they were eating in there. And one Saturday morning, as they're all sitting there watching cartoons, eating their bowls of cereal, their mother was in the garage committing suicide. Now, the father's reaction was he kind of went crazy when it was all said and done. There was chaotic hellishness already in the home, obviously. You don't get to that point without just all kinds of circumstances going on. But here's Kim with a brother and a sister having to go back out in the garage and find their mother. How do you react to that? Nobody wants that. Nobody would wish that on anybody. We know that. And that's a horrible story, but there are worse stories out there. Maybe it's even yours. External influences influence the way you are. No question. But here's what Kim did. Kim did what the Apostle Paul said here in Colossians chapter 2. She found Christ. She began her journey like a seedling. And she allowed herself to open up her life to the Almighty God in that way, in a relational way. And she began to blossom through some tough times. She had a brother who was an addict for years, and a sister who had just all kinds of chaotic things. Today, Kim lives up in Stanwood, actually. Her and her husband, they have some beautiful children. They're not a perfect family, but at the same time, they are a godly family. And she has raised a very fine group of kids. And she's a godly woman that I would trust with anybody. I think she's probably one of the most mature young ladies I've ever met. I've occasionally used her as an illustration. You might have heard me talk about her before. But she stands out as a person who typifies Colossians chapter 2. Because she could sit back now and say, thank you, God. I know she does that all the time because I rarely see her, but I constantly see her. She uses Facebook more than any person I've ever met in my life. She is constantly posting photos. But occasionally Patty and I write her and say, we are so proud of you. So proud of you. Because she's like that giant oak tree. She did not allow her external influences in her life to stop her from growing to a sense of maturity. She stopped listening to those other things that are not true. whether they be advertisements or whether they be things that happened to her that she had nothing to do about. And instead she began to listen to the truth of Christ and said, I founded my life in Him. That has made me helped me have a life that just oozes with thankfulness. External. There's a last one. And that's just a simple one for me. But it's one that is also real. You may not have had a mother that committed suicide in the garage, but you have this one. Influences that we listen to. You know what they are? They are internal conflicts that have nothing to do with anybody else. In other words, they belong to you. I had a friend in Russia I was visiting with the other day, and when I was over there, and I'm so proud of our church allowing us to be involved, and it was so good to hear the report in Indonesia at the same time, the prayers that are needed there. And I, you know, Patty had a chance last weekend to share with you a little bit about some of the work going on in Russia, and that was very cool. But I was sitting down and having tea with a Russian pastor friend of mine, and we were talking plans and ideas of things we're planning on trying to do. And he, right at the end of it all, we were kind of finished with our agenda. And we sat there for about another hour, and he looked at me, and this is through translator. He didn't speak any English, and my Russian's pretty poor. But he says, he took a big sip of his tea, and he says, do you find people to just be all screwed up? Now, that's my paraphrase. He didn't use that terminology, but that's exactly what he meant. And I went, no, that's pretty much a Russian problem. In my world, don't have that issue. I don't know what city you're from, but in my town, we got it covered. No, the obvious is, I don't care where you come from. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what island in Indonesia you're from. I don't care what, where, when, where, how. I don't care. We are one big mess. It's the internal battle that goes on in us all. He began to talk to me about issues he's having with this family, this guy that I love dearly that just ran off with another woman in Moscow, and just painful stuff. He just goes, I just get so tired. And at the same time, I want to say, yeah, I also get tired of myself, because sometimes those same battles occur in me. They incur in you. So before you start pointing fingers at any of me or any of the rest of us, let's look at yourself for a second. The internal issue that goes on, the constant feeling of maybe I'm too fat, maybe I'm too thin, maybe I'm too tall, maybe I'm too short, maybe I'm too bald. That's not my problem, by the way. Maybe I'm too, I didn't win enough. I lose to him. I lost the quarterfinal football game. Oh, my gosh. I'm a Husky fan, and I just lost the Apple Cup, which was stupid, by the way. But, no, I teased him. But, I mean, you know, it's the constant, I got too much stress. I don't have enough talent. I got too much of this. I got too much of that. The kind of secret things that go on in your life when you secretly spend time alone. You know the battle. You know what's there. To be human is to be complicated. But I have good news for you. We're all in this ship together, and God has an answer. And it is the lesson of the tree. I want to read for you, and if you don't know this passage, it's one of my very favorites in all the Bible. I just love it. But it's Psalm chapter 1, and it also uses the lesson of the tree. And it says this, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners or join with the mockers. You know what he's saying right there? I'm reading this out of an NIV or NLT version. The joy of that person who does not listen to outside influences or even listen to himself and the lies that he's willing and wanting to tell himself, but finds himself listening only to, as he puts it here, meditating on the law and delighting only in the law of the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, write this down if you don't know where it is. Find it for yourself, read it for yourself, think through this. Blessed is the person who doesn't listen to all that other junk that's out there, but finds his only source of life to be the law of the Lord, the only truth out there. hanging your hat on the only thing that has any meaning. And that is the law of the Lord. They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank. What's so special about the riverbank? There's always water. There's no drought. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit every season. Every time it needs to bear fruit, it bears fruit. And their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. That's the lesson of the tree. That can be your lesson as well. The journey of life can be really simple. You find yourself grounded, firmly planted in the only truth that matters, the only truth that really is truth. And stop listening to the lies of the external influences, the outside advertisements, or the internal conflicts that go on in your life, and begin to listen to the Word of God. Heather and I taught a first steps class in our church here that day. We do that, you know, every so often, and it's kind of a new members class. I highly recommend it. You need to do that if you've never done that before. But in that, we just sort of deal with some of the basics, and one of the basics of it all is how do you develop a quiet time with God? And I'm also recognizing and realizing how difficult that is to do with all the noise of the world. I have to tell you, and I'm not there yet. I'm not there. I wish I was, but that has been one of the greatest battles for me, is quiet time with God, and mostly because I like being alone and stuff, but there's this struggle with being quiet. Go figure. I mean, it is. It's a struggle to be quiet. Actually, I kind of do like to be quiet. I like people to leave me alone. As much as I love to talk, I also love it when everybody just leaves me alone. But even when I'm alone, I like to pull out this silly thing and check all the apps. And I can't, you know. But in the last, I don't know, I'm getting better. All I can say is I'm getting better. I'm just getting better. I've been able to find a chair in a quiet spot. It works best for me most of the time. It's early in the morning. But, you know, whenever, whatever, however. But in recent days of my life, there's been kind of this new revelation, which is no new revelation at all. I've heard it ever since I was a kid. I grew up in a church world that talked about this all the time. But this revelation to be able to say, I have to find all of my source of strength from Him and Him alone. Before I look at my bank statements, before I check the news, before I check my pulse to see how my cholesterol level is, before I get on the scale to see how much weight I've gained, before I check the stock market to see how my 401ks or whatever the heck they are doing, before I check, look, think about the world news, and before I check and call my relatives to see how they're doing, before I do any of that, I check the Word of God, because the thing is, that is the only truth that's really going to matter. And you spend time in the Holy Word of God. It sounds so trite, sounds so churchy, but let me tell you what, guys, you will never, ever, ever, ever be mature. You will never last any storm. You will be constantly running around chasing the wind and being blown around by every new thing that comes along. You will be thrown a loop the moment the doctor comes in and tells you you have cancer. There's going to be something out there that's going to throw you under the bus. Unless you live the lesson of the tree that says I can be rooted and built up in Him. And I can be strong no matter what circumstances take place. Not because circumstances are great or everything's going peachy keen fine, but because of Him. It's the lesson of the tree. And then my life will literally overflow with thankfulness. Thankfulness will not be just an adjective to add on to the circumstances of my life, but it will be who I am. because of who He is. You get it? Let's pray together. Almighty God, there's just an awful lot to throw us around. I think about this a lot when I come in here on a church service every Sunday morning. We all come into this room with a sort of our own issues and things that are happening. And I pray for the issues of people in this room. There are some real legitimate battles going on. Some people who have been thrown under the bus. Some relational things happening in marriages and families and jobs and money. Conflicts going on with relationships that we might have. Uncertainties about tomorrow. That's just real. Help us, oh God, to not listen to the influences of life that are thrown at us, but instead totally and finally and ultimately lean upon Your Word, the only thing that is true. We give that to You. We give that to You.